Back in 1981, Chris Bowater, he wrote that well-known song, Here I Am, Wholly Available, and I think it has become probably a modern-day classic when it comes to Christian songs. Here I am, wholly available. But there's a line in that song that says, God's looking for a people who are willing. God's looking for a people who are willing. God's looking for a people who are willing to do what? That's the question. Looking for people who are willing to do what? Well, we could say God's looking for a people who are willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Of course, that's right. But that's maybe a little bit too simplistic. Let's be more specific about it. God's looking for a people who are willing to do what? Is it that God's looking for a people who are willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel after they have made sure and double-checked with God that he really wants them to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Is that the kind of people that God's looking for? Is God looking for a people who are willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel only after they have asked God for a sign to show them that they should go into all the world and preach the gospel? Is that the kind of people God is looking for when it says he's looking for a people who are willing? I think not. God is looking for a people who are willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel simply because he says in his word, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the kind of people God's looking for. A people who go, not because God has given them a sign, not because they have checked and double-checked and verified with God that he really wants them to go, but a people who just see it in his word, go. And they go into all the world and preach the gospel. I believe that's the kind of people that God is looking for in these days. Because you see, for it to be any other way is to tempt God. So it is. You know, if I come to God and I say to God, do you want me to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Are you sure you want me to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Lord, will you give me a sign to show me that you want me to go into all the world and preach the gospel? If I do that, what I'm really doing is I'm tempting God. I've no need to do that. God has said in his word in Matthew 28 and 19 and many other places, simply go. We've no need to check with him. We've no need to ask him for a sign. He has said it. And for us not to go because he said it, but to ask him and to check with him and to check again with him if he really wants us to go, that's tantamount to tempting God. And you see, that's what we have before us tonight. The devil was tempting Jesus. Verse 5, the devil took Jesus up into the holy city. He set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I want to think about those words tonight. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You see, Satan here was tempting Jesus. So he was tempting him to throw himself down. And if Jesus had done that, he would have been tempting the Father. Tempting the Father to come and rescue him. And Jesus responds and he says to Satan, he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus here in his response, he was quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and 16. Because there we have those same words recorded, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And on that occasion, they refer to the children of Israel. We read off in Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. Let me just turn to that passage and read it together. Because in Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7, the children of Israel were tempting God. God had told them he was with them. God had told them he would provide for them. But they wanted a sign. That wasn't enough. They wanted a sign. They wanted God to show them. They wanted God to give them water as a sign that he really was with them. Exodus 17. It says, verse 2, "Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' So Moses said to them, 'Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt God?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, 'Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" They were tempting God. You see, God had said he was with them. God had given them his word that he would be with them, but that wasn't enough for them. They wanted a sign. They asked for a sign. They were tempting God in that they asked for this sign. And that's what Jesus has in mind whenever he's speaking to Satan here, who's tempting him. He says, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." You see, we tempt God. We tempt God whenever we ask God for something that he's already given us. I want to relate this to what we're thinking about these nights. I want to relate it to service and to reaching out with the gospel and to evangelism. We're thinking about getting ready to do that in the days to come. How can we relate this to that whole area? Well, it's not very difficult. First of all, let us go back to where we started. We tempt God. We can tempt God by asking for a sign. By asking for a sign when he's already given us his word. You see, I tempt God whenever I come to God and whenever I say to the Lord, "Lord, do you want me to go into all the world with the gospel? Lord, do you want us as a church to go into Eglish and to go into Blackwater Town and go into Benburb and to go into the surrounding area? Lord, do you want us to go there? Lord, if you do, will you show us?" You know, to pray a prayer like that would sound very commendable and you would sound very spiritual. But know what you'd be doing? You'd be tempting God. You'd be tempting God. God has said in his word, "Go. Go." And there you are, Colin. You're asking me, should you go? You're asking me for a sign to show you that you should go. Colin, I've told you, I've shown you in my word to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, when it comes to the whole area of evangelism and outreach, we can tempt God by asking for a sign. By asking God to show us, should we go out? Whenever we know full well he has told us to go out. Tempt God by doing that. I know myself how, and maybe it's a weakness on my part, but I know myself how frustrated I get with people whenever they ask me a question. I've already told them the answer on a previous occasion. And that's like sometimes what we do with God. Sometimes what the church today does with God, we Or better pray, should we go out with the gospel? Do you really want us to go out, Lord? Lord, if you do, you're going to have to show us, because you know there are awful people out there. That's tempting God. Friends, God is looking for a people who are willing. A willing just to go. Because those people recognize he has said go. He has said go. That's the kind of people that God is looking for in these days. Friends, we don't need to pray, Lord, show us, do you want us to go out? Don't need to pray that. He's told us to go. We just need to be prepared to go. So we can tempt God by asking for a sign when it comes to going out with the gospel. Also, we can tempt God by focusing on results in the gospel. Tempt God by focusing on results in the gospel. You know, whenever I read the New Testament, I discover that my task is to go and sow. That's all that God wants me to do. Just go and sow. The lines of demarcation are very clearly drawn. That's all I'm called to do. And God says, I will do the rest. Colin, you leave the results to me. That's what God says. He says in his word, my word will not return void. He who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Colin, the church, you don't need to worry about results. Your job is to go and sow. And not to worry about the results. You leave that to me. You leave that to me. But you know, sometimes Colin's concerned for the results. Sometimes Colin will pray at a time of outreach, a time of mission, Lord, we want you to save one person tonight. I want you to save one person tonight. And sometimes when folks pray that, it can come from a very sincere and genuine heart. But you know, sometimes when I have prayed it, I've really been tempting God. Because sometimes when I have prayed, Lord, will you give us one soul tonight? Lord, see this outreach we're doing. See the ladies when they go out to Fit for Life. Lord, this year, will you just save one person? Sometimes it can be tantamount to tempting God. Because sometimes what we're really saying is, Lord, we're not sure if you can save. And we'll want you to prove it. Want you to prove it. God has said in his word he's able to save. God has said in his word that he will save. God has said in his word that his word will not return void. He has said all of that. We've no need to worry about the results. If we have an unhealthy focus on the results, in the gospel, in evangelism, and in outreach, sometimes that can be tantamount to tempting God. Really saying, Lord, we're not sure that you can do this. We'll want you to prove it. Let's just trust his word. He says, go and sow. Let me do the rest. Don't you worry about that. God is looking for a people who are willing to go, because the Bible says go. God is looking for a people who are willing to go and sow and not see any results, and go back the next year and go and sow again and not see any results. And God is looking for a people who are prepared to go back the next year and go and sow and not see any results. I believe that's what God's looking for in these days. So it is. I was encouraged this morning to hear the Fit for Life ladies waiting behind, preparing again just to go and to sow and just leave it to God. I believe that's what is needed today. Oh, we tried that. We tried that. No one was saved. We'll not do it again. How pathetic is that? I'm talking to myself. How pathetic is that at times? Who do we think God is? What size do we think God is? God has said his word will not return void. He who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, the harvest will come. God's looking for a people who are willing just to take him at his word, trust his word, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. A people who are willing just to go and sow and just keep on doing that, even though they may not see any results for some time. But you know, we can tempt God in another way in the gospel. We can tempt God, and Jesus said to Satan here, he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You know, we can tempt God by engaging in the gospel, but not preaching the cross of Christ. We can tempt God like that. We want to be involved in the gospel. We want to be known to be a church that's a gospel church. We're involved in outreach and all of that. But we don't preach the cross of Christ. And that happens today. That happens. So it does. We want to be a gospel church. We want to be known to be that, but we don't want to be known as a church who mentions the blood and the death and the awfulness and the ugliness of that. We don't want to kind of confront people with that. We don't want to tell people that that is your only remedy, but we still want to go out and preach the gospel. Friends, when we go down that road, we're tempting God. God has said in his word, that we are to preach the cross of Christ. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but is the power of God to those who are being saved. We read in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Don't we read that we preach Christ crucified? That he died and was buried, that he rose again. God has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And friends, if you take the cross and take Christ and the cross of Christ out of the gospel, there is no gospel to preach. There is some fluffy story to tell, but it will not change lives. God has told us to go with this message that involves a cross, that involves the blood of Christ. He has told us to go with it. And friends, if we go with any other message, if we water that down, if we take bits out of it, we are really tempting God. We're really saying, God, you're not modern enough. You're not up to date enough. So you're not. We think we can do it better. We're really tempting God. That's what we're doing. You see, folks, I believe the only way to avoid tempting God in this area is to do what the hymn instructed us, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Or obey and trust, if we want, just turn it around. That's the only way we can avoid tempting God in the whole area of evangelism and the gospel. The first thing we need to do is just obey his word. Obey his word. We need to be a people who obey his word. His word says go. That's what his word says. His word doesn't say pray whether you should go. It says go. 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 If we start to pray about whether we should go, we're really tempting God. We're really saying your word isn't good enough. Want to avoid tempting God? Let's obey his word. Let's just go because he says go. But also, if we want to avoid tempting God, let's not only obey, but let's trust him. Let's trust his word. Trust his word. Friends, the older I get, and I am getting older, I'm nearly 8 years older than when I first came here. That's dreadful. But the older I get, the more I've come to realize and appreciate this word, the authority of it, that we can stand upon it. Let's trust this word, what it says. Let's trust his power. Let's trust him and leave the results and everything else to him. Not even mention them. Let's trust him and his word and obey him. Because when we do that, we will indeed guard against tempting the Lord in the ways I've just described. But just as we come to a close tonight, I want to look at some other little details just in the passage we have read together. In verses 5 to 7, these have no real connection with the main thrust of what we've been thinking about this evening. You know that little chorus? Well, there's a line in it and it says, "He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way." I'm sure you've heard of that. So you have. And it's a lovely piece and true, so it is. The Lord walks and talks with us along life's narrow way. But you know something else I've discovered? That the devil walks and talks with us along life's narrow way as well. Really does. Something just that is I've been alerted to recently. And don't we see that happening throughout this passage? Look at verse 3. It says, "Now when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" So here's the devil talking to Jesus, talking to him. Verse 5. "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple." And as I read that, it was very vivid. It's as though we see the devil and Jesus walking to the temple, to Jerusalem, climbing up to that high point on the temple. It's as though they were going together. And that's not to be irreverent concerning our Savior. But this has alerted me to the fact that, you know, the devil can walk with us. The devil can talk with us. So we can. And I assure you folks this evening that if you want to be involved in service for God, and that is your plan, that is your desire, that is what you are doing, you can be sure the Lord will walk and talk with you. But you can be sure the devil will walk and talk with you. You can be sure of that. And he will tell you all sorts of crazy things that on the surface seem plausible. We see it again in verse 8. "Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain." Imagine that. The devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain. This guy doesn't give up. He walks and he talks with us. And I believe at times we have done our people a great disservice at times by dismissing his reality. No, we can't do that. He can't talk to you. He can't walk with you. I believe he can. I believe he can. And it's when we're involved, Jesus here was being prepared for ministry, for service, and the devil was here. Let's be alert. Let's be aware of his devices in these days. But something else we learn about him. The devil knows the scriptures, and he will use them to confuse you. Look at verse 6. I mean, he's so, so clever. Probably from the first temptation, he realizes that Jesus is different from anyone else he's ever tempted before. He realizes he's going to have to try a bit harder when it comes to Jesus. Because he sets Jesus the challenge in verse 5 and 6. He says, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here." And then he says in verse 6, For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Where did he get that from? No, he got that, friends, from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Did you know the devil reads the Psalms? And here's proof of it. Reads the Psalms. And he uses the Psalms here. He's quoting from Psalm 91. He says to Jesus, throw yourself down. Because it says in the Psalms that God will give his angels charge over you. In their hands they will bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. He knows the scriptures. And he's prepared to use the scriptures against Jesus here. And he'll use them against his people as well. We need to be alert to that. That the devil will often use the scriptures against his people. And so what are we to do? How are we to discern? Well, one of the ways is that we need to be daily in the scriptures. One of the ways is to read systematically through the scriptures, through this book or that book, just to read systematically through it. Come to the Lord and to prayerfully come as we come and approach the scriptures, asking that God might speak, asking that he might help us to discern his will for us through his word. That's how we need to come and approach his word in these days. He's so cunning, so crafty, so clever in what he will do. And what he can do. But this evening, let's just go back again and remember the words of Jesus in response to the devil in his second temptation. He says, it's written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. God says in his word, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's just go and do it. God says in his word, my word will not return void. It is I who gives the increase. Let's just trust God on that. Let's not worry about the results. Let's not tempt God in those ways. God has told us in his word to go and preach the gospel, to preach the whole counsel of God. Not to leave the cross out. Let's not think that we know better and take it out, because that is tempting God. Let's be alert to our enemy in these days, who can walk and talk with us and tell us all sorts and even use the word of God against us. What I have discovered in my life is that whenever God is speaking through his word, he will keep bringing it back. So he will. I will read it here and I will sense God is saying something to me here. I will read elsewhere and I will sense it there. There will be that continuity as I read. What I find is whenever the devil is seeking to use the word of God against me, he can't do that. It'll pop up in isolated places. But there isn't that same continuity as you have whenever you know that the Lord is clearly speaking from his word. Let's just pray.